The message you are about to hear will or will not be what you actually want to hear. Foreknowledge, predestination, before it happened, when it happened, why it happened. Let's settle the matter once and for all. The name I've given my message today is Before and After. Which came first? Which came first? Now, how many of you listeners really know what God's foreknowledge is? I wonder. How many of you know? How many of you really know what predestination is? Now, you can look in your dictionary, pick it up right away, but before this message is finished, you're going to get God's revelation on foreknowledge and predestination, and I pray it'll be much clearer by then. In fact, I'm going to say a little prayer now for God's guidance, okay? Heavenly Father, there appears to be a great misunderstanding concerning your foreknowledge and predestination. I pray, Lord God, for your wisdom. Please guide my thoughts and my tongue, and open the ears, please, of all who will hear. Bless me, the speaker. Bless them, the listeners. And may your word not return to you void. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray and ask these mercies. How many of you know the difference between foreknowledge and predestination? And I'm not trying to act funny here or pretend that you don't know anything, nothing like that at all. Please don't misunderstand me. By the time I'm finished with this message, you will know exactly where I'm coming from and where I'm going and where you're going. Foreknowledge now, according to God and Webster, God first, okay, and Webster, is to know beforehand, knew, knowing, known, to have previous knowledge, to have previous knowledge of something, known beforehand or before it occurs, especially by paranormal or by revelation. First, the Webster account. Foreknowledge. Here's what Webster says. Muriel Webster says, to foreordain to an earthly or eternal lot or destiny by some divine decree, destined, fated, determined beforehand. They got that? By some divine decree, we know who that is, God, right? Destined, fated, determined beforehand. We're talking about foreknowledge, right? Okay, now let's touch on predestination before we compare the two. Predestination, same way, same people, same God. The state of being predestinated. The doctrine that God, in consequence of his foreknowledge of all events, infallibly guides those who are destined for salvation through his foreknowledge. Got that? Through his foreknowledge. Now please, please understand. God is not saying that only some of us can get saved, but rather he knows through his foreknowledge who will get saved, who will come to him in faith, believing. Have you got that? Now, in the Word of God, if we look into Acts chapter 2, verse 23, we read, as delivered by Peter's Pentecostal sermon, talking about the crucifixion, Peter says, and I quote, him, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel And here it comes. Foreknowledge of God ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he, the Christ, should be holding of it. Should be holding, not possible at all, no. Now, keep in mind, we are talking about the foreknowledge of who? Almighty God, right? Not the guy down the street, or the person you met yesterday at school. No, we're talking about God's foreknowledge. Foreknowledge of Almighty God. You see, God knew way back in time when he created things, right? That Calvary would be imminent. He knew that. Now, as a child, well, I remember my dad being the bearer of two main titles. He was a fisherman, and he was a warrior. A seaman, because his life between wars was that of a fisherman. As a warrior, he fought bravely against Hitler in World War II and then in Korea. Now, I was born when the German Holocaust was in its prime. I was a young lad when the Korean conflict began. But it didn't end there. No, it did not end there. By the time I had come of age, there was yet another war. The war in Cyprus between Greece and Turkey, where many lives were lost or changed, all for a hunk of dirt in the Mediterranean. My dad was there too. He just couldn't get it out of his blood. My brother and cousin and I also joined forces with the same dad. The same father who spent most of his life fishing before and after the fighting began. Now, that was then. That was then. The years turned into memories, and the memories faded with time. That was before, and now it is after. And that is the title I've given my message today, Before and After. Which came first? According to the scriptures, of course. Was it foreknowledge or predestination? Well, let me tell you this. What God knew, he also did predestinate. You got that? What God knew, he also did predestinate. So, which one came first? His foreknowledge, right? And he did predestinate. If we look in the book of Peter, Peter's first epistle, chapter 1, verse 2, we'll get a first-hand glimpse at God's foreknowledge fulfilled again. Now listen carefully. Peter's talking to the elect scattered throughout the land. Verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. End of quote. Now, unless we read verse 4 and 5, we may not have the full meanings. Okay? So I'll continue on. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Ooh, I love that last line. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Tell me, are you beginning to see the picture unfold here? Are you? Now, I want to go quickly to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Please listen carefully. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having His seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. End of quote. Okay, let's move from God's foreknowledge, here we go, to the extremely important predestination. Predestination. Now, you've got to understand, if you're going to follow along, that foreknowledge preceded predestination. In other words, God knew even before you came from the womb if you would be saved or not, if you would repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew this. Thus, His predestination. Alright, Merriam-Webster defines predestination as to foreordain to an earthly or eternal lot or destiny by some divine decree. Divine decree. You are destined, you are fated, and determined beforehand. Have you got that? Beforehand. So you might live your whole life and say, well, you know, I'm either going to go to heaven or I'm going to hell. I mean, I don't have any choice in the matter, but you do. And God knows what your choice will be. Therefore, you come under predestination. God's foreknowledge knows what you're thinking right now and what you will do tomorrow and next year, next decade, as long as you live. He knows if you're going to have a turning onto Jesus Christ. He knows. That's exciting. So don't say, well, I'll wait until I'm on my deathbed and then I'll tell God I believe. It won't work. Predestination is the state of being predestinated. It is the doctrine that God, in consequence of His foreknowledge of all events and infallibility, guides those who are destined for salvation through His, what? Foreknowledge. You got it? Foreknowledge. We're not talking about goody two-shoes people here, but sinners. Sinners. As we all are, unfit to stand before the holy presence of God. And that's everybody. There's no man or woman on this earth who isn't a sinner. But there are a lot of them that who have not repented. Ephesians 2, verse 19, reads, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but, oh I love this, fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Oh, that just moves my heart. Just caused me to holler out, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Are you in that group? Are you in that field? Now, let us add to that. Let us add to what I just said about the household of God and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Which reads, but we all, with open face, to beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? But we all, with open face, to beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful words. It warms my heart just to read them. Now, if we go to Romans 8, 29 and 30, God's plan for mankind comes to the ultimate conclusion. Is that what you want to hear, the ultimate conclusion, or do you fear the ultimate conclusion? Or is the conclusion something that may be a little bit dark for you, hard to understand, hard to wrap your mind around, perhaps? Romans 8, 29 and 30. From the pen of the Apostle Paul, listen very carefully, very carefully. Apostle Paul writes, for whom he, God, did foreknow, he, God, also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. I think that warrants another read, don't you? For he, God, did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Now, you can go to 2 Timothy 2:19 or Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. Let's go to Romans verse 30. Back in Romans 8, verse 30, we read there, moreover, whom he, God, did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And who he justified, them he also glorified. Wow. You see, God's foreknowledge preceded this verse, right? Moreover, whom he, God, did predestinate, because he's predestinating here, which means that he foreknew, whom he did predestinate, them whom he did predestinate, he also called. And he also justified. And those who he justified, them he also glorified. Wow. I don't know about you, but I find this very, very exciting. Very exciting indeed. Now, we can't stop there. Let us go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I love this. Wonderful words. Wonderful words to hold in your heart. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. You know, I can't let that go by without reading it again, because it just warms my heart. But ye are a chosen generation. Are you part of that chosen generation? A royal priesthood? Are you part of it? A holy nation? Is Canada? Is the U.S.? Are they holy nations? A peculiar people? Well, it all depends how you look at peculiar. But if we're saved, if we're predestined, we're peculiar to the world today, that's for sure. That ye should show forth the praises of him. The praises of who? The praises of Almighty God. The praises of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross at Calvary, who gave his life, that our sins would be forgiven, aborted. Called you out of the darkness into what? His marvelous light. Oh, you know, it's better, has been said, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness, right? Oh, yes, for sure. Well, it's better to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ than to go to a fiery hell and be forever a servant of Satan. You know, we all have a choice. What choice will you make? And now we come to the clincher. I like to call it the clincher. I find the word clincher exciting. It means finality. There's great finality in clinching, clincher. Okay, 1 Corinthians. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Chapter 6, verse 11, 1 Corinthians. Now, please listen very, very carefully. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Oh, in case you don't have your Bible open there, let me read it once more. It's so powerful. It's so final. And it really, really warms the heart. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, walking in darkness, right? But are washed, but are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Oh, it's a tragedy. We might call it a travesty if we think we're living a good life and we end up down in the fiery hell prepared for the devil and his angels. We might say, oh, God, what did I do wrong? I shouldn't be here. You put me on the wrong road. I'm on the Romans road. I'm on the Roman road. No. You have my sympathy. You know, I got saved late in life. Quite late. You know, I was in my early 40s when I got saved. And you know something? It was like going from darkness into light. That's the simplicity of salvation. From darkness to light. From not believing to believing. Now, when I say not believing, I don't mean that, oh, yeah, you recognize Jesus. You might go to church, you know. You might say, well, yeah, I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, Jesus Christ, right? Yeah. So you might think just because you heard of him or you hear of him that, hey, that's fine. I know for sure now that I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus Christ. You know, there are perhaps millions, or I would say millions at least, people walking around this crazy mixed up world today. And they're you know, they believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth rather, and died on a cross somewhere, shed his blood for me so that I can go to heaven. I believe that. So, okay. Fine, you know, let's accept that and get on with our lives, okay? Who wants another beer? Oh, come on. Hey, let's go to the show. I hear they're playing something really out of this world. Listen now. I'm not saying, here's two things to consider. Salvation is instantaneous when you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But, you know, your heart has to be into it. You know, you just don't mouth the words. You know, you ever go to a church that, you know, says, all right, everybody who wants to give their life over to Christ, okay, you can either stand or you can come to the altar or just bow your heads in your seat. And I'll lead you to the Lord. So the preacher, minister, whomever, delivers an invitation. Okay, so he says the words. All you have to do is believe in what he's saying. And important, yeah, at the end, amen. You see, amen is like putting the seal on a letter, which means everything that you said or wrote in that letter is what was on your mind. Okay? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Pretty easy. I mean, and a lot of people have gone to church, and they've heard these words uttered from what they consider to be a religious man up at the pulpit, okay, which is another story altogether. It's not religion that saves you, it's Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God that cometh and indwelleth you. Okay, so you might hear these words, and then you might walk out feeling light as a feather, and saying to the guy next to you, or the lady next to you, you know what, I'm so glad I came to church today, I'm a new person in Christ. So you go home, you have your supper, whatever, or dinner, whatever time you eat, you go home, and you say, well, you know, I became a Christian today, I mean a real Christian. So, what happens tomorrow? What happens the next day, and the next day, and next month, and the year after? Can you still proclaim that you are a Christian? Are you? What about going out with the guys and having a few drinks at the tavern? What about your prayer life? Is it constant with God? What about your just overall lifestyle? Do you help the poor? Do you pray for them? Do you pray for your brothers and sisters in the Lord? Do you pray for your church? What kind of life are you living? Or did you just use what you heard in church that one Sunday you were there and believe it then? And now you're on your own, say, I'm not going to bother God anymore. He's got enough to do without me getting in his way, which is an attitude that a lot of people unfortunately take. How is it with you? How is it with you? I pray that your destiny is sealed. I pray that you not only say you believe in what happened at Calvary, but that you believe honestly, truthfully, faithfully, to the end. It's not something that goes on for a day or a moment. It's something that goes on eternally. And one day, Jesus will come, and he'll take us all home. Oh, what a day that will be, when my Jesus we shall see. Thank you all for listening today, and I pray that something I've said here today will find lodging in your needy heart. I pray you'll tune in again next week, 9 a.m., here on the Just Jesus Radio Network for another message. And that in the meantime, you walk steadfastly in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.